We looked last week at how the Lord does care for His people. If we go ahead and turn to the structure there, this world is not the way it should be, right? It's wrecked by sin. There's enemies of the gospel, societal issues like poverty, injustice, and systematic racism. There's personal issues like broken relationships, divorce, abuse, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual perversity, prejudice, and hate. There are health issues like cancer, Alzheimer's, diabetes, and infertility, depression, mental health, and heart disease. This world is not as it was created to be. Psalms, you can look sometimes and you can see a structure there. In verse 1, David gives us a structure for the psalm, and he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." So we have this shepherd theme that runs through part of the psalm. And then he says, "I shall not lack," or "I shall not want." And that is the Lord as a gracious host. And that follows the second part of the psalm. And so when David, he's going to make some statements to himself and to the people. And then he then makes statements to the Lord about his shepherding. So he makes statements to the people about his shepherding, then statements to the Lord about his shepherding, then statements to the Lord about his gracious hosting, and then statements to the people about his hosting. Okay, so that's kind of the structure of Psalm 23 as we move through this, so that you can kind of see where we've been and where we're going with this. So when we jump in this week, we're going to be jumping in to where David is addressing the Lord, but he's addressing the Lord about his provision. So let's read the whole psalm, and in verse 5 is where we begin, is where we're going to pick up for this week's sermon. But let's read the whole psalm together. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." David begins there in verse 5 to address the Lord as his host, as someone that's welcoming him into his home, and he's providing for David. "Though the circumstances of life may be difficult, we can be content because of the Lord's plentiful provision." Look at verse 5. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So I can express to the Lord my trust in His hospitality in dangerous situations because He provides for my necessities. He provides my meals. Here we're reminded of the Israelites traveling through Egypt, or from Egypt to the promised land through the wilderness, and how God provided manna from heaven to feed all the people. Or Elijah being fed in the morning and in the evening by ravens beside a stream in a time of famine. And also when he was fed by a widow from jars of oil and meal that never emptied. How about when David fled to the wilderness from Absalom, his son? And we're told in 2 Samuel 17:28, it says, "The people brought beds, basins, and earthen vessels, wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans and lentils, honey and curds, and sheep and cheese from the herd for David and the people with him. For they said, 'The people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness.'" You know, David didn't pack up a bed and go out into the wilderness, and he's probably, as he's now older, if you're like, when I was younger, camping, no problem. Now, I don't even like the thought of sleeping in a tent, right? It's like when I wake up in the morning, it's going to take me 2 hours to start moving normal again, right? So I imagine David's probably, he's like fleeing for his life, but he's like, boy, well, it's going to stink to have to sleep on the ground tonight. And then all of a sudden, here comes people providing a bed for him to sleep in. David knew by experience that as you follow the Lord on the paths of righteousness that lead through dark circumstances, you can trust that he will provide for you. In John 6, 48 through 51, Jesus says this, "I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." And then in Matthew 6, 31 through 33, he says, "Do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Make God's kingdom and his righteousness the highest priority in your life, and he'll make sure you're fed and clothed." As you follow the Lord on the paths of righteousness that sometimes lead through dark circumstances, you can trust that the Lord will provide for you. We can express to the Lord our trust with his hospitality in dangerous circumstances because he treats us as honored guests. He says, "You anoint my head with oil." Okay, so now I'm going to read to you from Manners and Customs of the Bible. Anointing was an ancient custom practiced by the Egyptians and afterwards by the Greeks and Romans and other nations. Olive oil was used, either pure or mixed with fragrant and costly spices, often brought from a long distance. Anointing was done not only as a part of the ceremony in connection with the coronation of kings and at the installation of the high priest, but also as an act of courtesy and hospitality towards a guest. Ointments were made of oil and fragrant spices. They were used to make you smell good. Now, we don't often think about this nowadays unless you are like a junior high teacher or coach, right? I can remember in the seventh grade, my home economics teacher pulled me aside and she said, "Now, hey, I put some deodorant in Billy's locker. Could you make sure that he uses that when you get done with phys ed class?" I'm like, "Really?" But that's the thing. When a guest is coming to your house in the days before deodorant, and another thing, they had this show, I think it was on PBS, about people pioneering. They were going to be like the pioneers in Canada, and they were going to live off the ground and everything else. And when it was done, they took them into the town, and they ran into the nearest drugstore. And you know what the first thing they grabbed? Not candy bars, not soda, deodorant. Right there in the store, popped it off, started putting it on. So in ancient times, when a guest came to your house, they might smell. So it was a kind thing to put a little ointment on them. Then they're not embarrassed in front of you because they stink. Anointing the head of a guest was a show of respect and honor. And beloved, we've been anointed by the Holy Spirit. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22 says, "And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee." What a gracious God to welcome us into his presence, to anoint us. So I express my trust to the Lord with his hospitality in dangerous circumstances because he treats me like an honored guest. And then, thirdly here, I express my trust to the Lord with his hospitality in dangerous circumstances because he pours out blessings abundantly. David says, "My cup overflows." You know, that's enough. Something I learned in Germany when I was there, for the baseball trip, my host was telling me that the custom is they keep giving you drink until you leave some in the cup. Now, unfortunately, I was raised, you finish what you drink, right? You don't want to leave anything, and so constantly pouring in. I think Pastor Tad mentioned when he was in Taiwan that you're supposed to leave a little food on the plate to let them know you're done. And if you clean your plate, they put more on, you know. He's got a nice story about getting sick on whatever soup it was they were giving him, but overflowing. It's like there's not a lack of blessing in this cup. He says, my cup overflows. Now, it's not that our life is one of continuous provision of abundance like this, but we do have the promise that God, who is good, is always with us and ready to provide for us in life. We celebrate the Lord's table or communion. It represents the bread of life that we read about and the cup of blessing that provides abundantly for our salvation. Right? We partake of this symbol that symbolizes the Lord's body, His righteousness. I needed His righteousness. I needed His unleavened, unsinful body to be put in me, to be joined with Him. I needed a death to pay for my sins. And so that cup, that blood, it represents the blood that was outside of me. I have a righteousness that is not my own, and there's a death that's not my own. And they, through my faith in Christ as my Lord and Savior, His death pays for my sins, and His righteousness makes me righteous in His sight. And that's what we celebrate at the Lord's table. When Jesus spoke of the Holy Spirit coming to us, He said this in John 7:37. I said, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the Scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now this He said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in Him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given, because Jesus was not glorified. If you're here today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, repent of your sins and trust His sacrifice on your behalf and His resurrection to be your Lord. Would you do that today? Turn from your sinful ways and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. God will then join you to Him, the mystical union with Christ. And His death pays for my sins and His righteousness becomes mine. Oh, don't delay. Do that today. But those who believe are given the Holy Spirit, and out of our heart flows rivers of living water, as Jesus says in this passage. We can trust the Lord and be content with His provision because He pours out blessings abundantly. And then I can express to the Lord my contentment with His hospitality in dangerous circumstances by responding with contentment. I will not lack, David said up in verse 1. I will not lack. We can trust the Lord to provide all our needs in this life. Even when we face dark circumstances, we have a great example with Paul writing from prison, mind you. In Philippians 4:10-13, he says, I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. Like they had sent someone to him. He said, you were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. Somebody finally had the chance to run to Rome and take some things with him. But he says in verse 11, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I've learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I've learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. No matter my circumstances in life, I can be content because the Lord is my gracious host who provides all my needs. You see, Christians will persevere in this life because of the plentiful provision of the Lord. Now David returns to reminding himself and others about how the Lord expresses His hospitality to him. Look at verse 6. He says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Lord's hospitality towards me is expressed in His working good in my life. Goodness and mercy shall follow me. We're reminded of Romans 8:28. We know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. His hospitality is expressed in his loving me with a steadfast covenant love through this life. It's goodness and mercy, and mercy is translating that word hesed, which normally in the English Standard Version is translated steadfast love. It's that covenant love. Hesed is a merciful love directed towards a person in a pitiful state, which is based on a prior covenant and therefore steadfast. Let me read that to you again. I'll give you an example. Hesed is a merciful love directed towards a person in a pitiful state, which is based on a prior covenant and therefore steadfast. A merciful love. And I've said, my wedding band reminds me of God's steadfast love. Because there have been times in my life where I've really messed up. And with my wife. And, you know, it could be one of those times where I go out and I get her favorite flowers. Right? Like, it's like, I'm sorry, but I'm sorry is just not cutting it. Right? And so I need to bring an offering. So maybe it's her favorite flowers, maybe it's her favorite ice cream, or maybe it's her favorite candy bar, or maybe it's all three. Right? And so I come to the door, and I've got all these things in my hand, and I go to grab the door, and it's locked. Right? Oh, and I knock on the door, and she comes to the door, and as she comes to the door, there's a frost in the South Texas, that frost that comes underneath the door, right? It's very cold, right? And she opens the door, and she looks on my offering, and then she looks at me, and I say, "Boy, I'm sorry." And she says, "You're pitiful." And then she forgives me because of a prior covenant that she made with me to love me in good times and bad. And beloved, our sin is no laughing matter in God's eyes. But we come to Him with Jesus. And we say, "Here's the offering you told me to present for my sin." And he looks on him, and he sees our pitiful state, and he forgives us because of the covenant he has made with us. "I will save my people from their sin." It's a merciful love. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. That's an interesting turn of phrase, isn't it? Goodness and mercy follow behind us. And I think it's because we don't often recognize goodness and mercy when we encounter it. Because God's working all things for good, right? But when we're going through life and He's shepherding us and taking us from one field to another field, as we discussed last week, when He's taking us through those dark valleys and we're walking, it's like, "Boy, this doesn't seem good." And we keep going. "This doesn't feel like love. This doesn't feel merciful." And we keep going. But then we look back and we see, oh, it was good. It was merciful. It was loving for Him to take me through that. Because now I'm more like Jesus because of what I went through. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. But make no mistake, God loved you here, and He loved you here, and He loves you here. His love never stopped through the whole process. He is with you. You can experience the presence of God in your life by trusting Him. This is a lot of the Psalms. David was not in the presence of the temple, but he experienced the presence of God. So they teach us how to experience God's presence. His presence goes with you. He cares for you. He's taking you from one field of rest and refreshment to another, but in between the path can be difficult. And all of this love and care is shown towards us until one day the final destination is arrived at, the house of the Lord. Or maybe more in our common language, we finally arrive at the Lord's house. Christians will persevere in this life because of the plentiful provision of the Lord. He expresses His care for me by making me a permanent residence in His home for all eternity. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. John 14, verses 1 and 3, Jesus is getting ready to leave the disciples, and they're experiencing a little bit of separation anxiety. And he says to them, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, like a generous host would, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, we have what I would say is a more accurate translation here. "In my Father's house are many rooms." And King James translated, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." And unfortunately, that led to a lot of music being created that I've got a mansion over in glory, right? And then, you know, many of the old songs that I like to listen to talk about having a cabin in the hills of heaven and that type of thing. And Lord, build me a cabin in the, build me a cabin in something in glory land or whatever. And they're great songs. They're fun songs. They're just not theologically accurate. And if you think about it, if the Lord building me a mansion kind of speaks a lot to me, but I don't know about you, but I'd rather stay with the Lord. I'd rather live in His house, right? We look back fondly on our youth most of the times, if we're being honest, because we didn't have to pay any bills, right? It wasn't our responsibility to take care of the grass or anything until we got to a certain age, right? We didn't have to fix things or anything like that. Now, the Lord's house never deteriorates or anything like that, but like we can just live with Him. We have a room in the Lord's house. That's an amazing thought. Beloved, it may be difficult in the here and now, but in the sweet by and by, we get to dwell in the house of the Lord. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. So, does the Lord care for His people? Yes. Though the circumstances of life may be difficult, we can be content because of the Lord's plentiful provision. Christians will persevere in this life because of the protecting presence and plenteous provision of the Lord. Now, if you're not a Christian, you don't have these promises. You need to repent of your sins and trust Christ as your Savior. And the great thing is that while we were sinners, those of us who are Christians here, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Look, you can turn from your sin, however bad it is, and trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He'll save you. It's what He does. That's why we call Him the Savior. It's what He does. But for Christians, this world is not as it was created to be. We have all those things that are just wrong in this world. And you may be going through some valleys that feels like the shadow of death. But the Lord is protecting you. You can be comforted, right? Your rod and your staff comfort me. But you can also be content that the Lord is providing for you. Don't complain about the Lord's provision for you. Don't be discontent. Be thankful. Be thankful. I think I shared with you, I'm going to share it again. Audra Tour, she's a widow of our church. She lives in a care facility, and recently she took a spill and had to get 12 stitches, and they thought there was a broken neck, but it wasn't, praise the Lord. But when I walked in to visit her, she's laying on the gurney in the emergency room, bloody face, neck in a neck brace, looking terrible. And as I walked up to her, she's saying something. I'm like, what is she doing? But she's saying, there's nobody around. What's she doing? And she was thanking the Lord. She was praising Him. And then later on, after I visited her later, she said to me, she says, "You know, David, whenever this happened, it was terrible." She said, "But the Lord has just brought so many people back into my life through this, and it's just been so good to catch up with this person and that person." She went through that, and she looked back, and she said, "Goodness and mercy, goodness and mercy. They're following me all the days of my life." My aunt shared a testimony of my grandmother, who was a very godly lady. In her older years, she was trying to keep the garden and couldn't. And she fell, and she couldn't get up. She's outside, and nobody's home. You know, no cell phones, none of that stuff. So she's just laying on the ground. Nighttime starts coming, and she shared with her daughter how she passed the time by just thanking the Lord. thanking him for the stars, thanking him for the little jacket that her son had bought her that she was wearing because it kept her warm while the temperature dropped and different things like that. And I look at that, and I think of that, and I think to myself, hey, am I content, especially when things are not going well? Surely goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life. Don't be discontent with the Lord's provision. He is with you, and He knows your situation. Oftentimes, though, the Lord provides for His people through His people. Remember when David went in the wilderness, and it says the people brought to him all these provisions. So, therefore, we need to be aware and have our antennas up for when people have needs that we're with and we're around, and be ready to provide, to be God's means of providing for others, ready to help, ready to give, ready to love, ready to pray. We, beloved, at Faith Baptist Church, need to help those who are walking in deep darkness. Philippians 2, verses 2 through 4, Paul is writing. Remember, the Philippians have sent someone to him and refreshed him, and he says to them, "Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not to his own interest, but also to the interest of others." You can be a blessing in somebody else's life. This world is not as it should be. And Christians are to live lives that reflect God's kingdom. We should care, and we should graciously share what we have to help others. We can be content in this life, even in difficult circumstances, because of the Lord's provision. The Psalms teach us proper responses to the Lord's character. Therefore, I need to remind myself and others of the Lord's care for and protection of and provision for me. It's okay to brag on your God for what He's done in the past. And I should also express to the Lord my trust and contentment with His presence. Talk to Him about it, especially when He's leading you through dark circumstances. Remember, it doesn't feel like love, doesn't feel good, doesn't feel like mercy when we're going through it. But when we look back, we can say, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. We may not delight in our circumstances, but we can delight in the Lord's presence as we go through our circumstances. Christians will persevere in this life because of the protecting presence and plentiful provision of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to You this morning. We just want to thank You for Your provision in our lives. Father, You have welcomed us into Your family as a gracious host. You are providing for us, even in the presence of our enemies, anointing us and allowing us to be restored into fellowship with You, not having to be embarrassed. And then, Father, just giving us a room in Your home to dwell in forever. Father, forgive us for being discontent with Your provision here on this earth. Father, help us to be grateful people, to be a thankful people, to be a generous people. As You have been generous with us, help us to welcome others in the family of God and to provide and help them. Father, I'm more than a guest, I'm a family member that You provide abundantly for. And we thank You for that permanent residence to look forward to. But Father, in this world, as we go through these dark circumstances, Father, may we be comforted by Your presence, Your protection with Your rod, and Your correction with Your staff. And then, Father, the provision that You give us, sometimes from very unexpected places. Father, we're thankful for that. Help us to care for, to protect and provide for others, as You have for us. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.